This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy. Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Well on Joy 94.9. Brought to you every Monday night by the Victorian AIDS Council here at the Joy Studios. So on Well, we do tackle all things related to sex, sexual health, and the overall health and well-being of our gender, sex, and sexually diverse community.
We do indeed.
My name is Jessie, and I'm here with my co-host, Jack. How are you today, Jack?
I'm well, thanks, Jessie. I'm still recovering, I think, from the long day on Saturday at Northside Bazaar.
I know. How did you find the Northside Bazaar that was at the Laird?
It was terrific. A great number of people attended. A significantly higher number, I think, than last year. Lots of entertainment, lots of auction lots, something for everybody, I think, overall.
I know. So I was kind of stuck behind the bar most of the
day. I know.
Not because I was drinking there, because I was helping run the bar, but whereabouts were you hanging out?
I was in the auction house and also in the main bar of the Laird. I was alternating between places.
Of course you were. Did you get to check out the Laird stage much? Because I barely got to see the performance.
I'm not quite sure. The installation art, the man suspended from the ceiling by ropes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what I would call it, suspension art.
Yeah.
And a few other more esoteric demonstrations, put it that way.
Yeah, indeed. And there were people walking around in latex. I was very impressed. Luckily, it wasn't too hot because could you imagine walking around that
It'd
latex?
Be very, you'd lose weight, I think.
I know. You'd lose 10 pounds just walking around
in that. I would probably need to lose 10 pounds.
Everyone looked great. It was a really fun
day. It was.
We do have Brett from the Laird actually calling in later at the end of the show just to kind of give us a quick wrap-up. So if you want to hear about that, stay tuned.
Indeed.
And what else have we got planned? Jack?
Well, we've got a very important message today. We'll be talking about breast care today. Now, this is one for the women, but there is a lot of beneficial stuff in there for guys as well. So everybody, please do stay tuned as we have a very special guest. Her name is Sarah.
That's right. And if you have missed any of our previous episodes in Well, be sure to check out our podcasts online at joy.org.au/well.
And for that, we must thank our wonderful podcaster, David. Without David, we'd be lost.
Indeed. And I actually met David for the first time on the weekend, and it was really nice to put a face to the name, and he said the same too. He listens to my voice nearly every week.
And now he can put a face to the name.
Exactly.
To the voice.
Absolutely. So after that, please do stay tuned. This is Well on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, and you are listening to Joy 94.9. We've our very special guest, Sarah Harris, joining us today to talk about foundational breast care. Sarah, a warm welcome to you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Jessie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in, even though I know you have actually gone away for a little bit, so really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So could you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do and your relation to foundational breast care?
Sure. So I am a complementary medicine practitioner. I practice in Melbourne and have been doing so for quite a number of years and have a very strong interest in women's health and women's well-being, and have been working with women for, clinical settings and also in workshops and presentations, just in bringing more awareness to them, understanding themselves and their bodies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, something I'm very passionate about.
Great. So could you kind of elaborate a little bit more what complementary healthcare actually entails?
Yeah, sure. So I do counselling and also a lot of body work as well. So I use modalities called the universal medicine modality. And part of the universal medicine modalities is the esoteric breast massage. And this modality is a modality that is practiced only by women, and it is for women. only as well. And that is really how Foundational Breast Care came about, is through the response and the way that this modality has been received by so many women. And Foundational Breast Care really sort of came about to sort of hold that modality, I guess, and to bring more awareness to an understanding of our relationship with our breasts as women.
Sarah, it's Jack here. I'm just wondering, what is the fundamental difference between foundational breast care from normal breast cancer screening services, for example, and the processes involved with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, the way that we sort of understand or the way that we respond to breasts today,
yep,
is really very much about, it's very fear-based, and which is because of, you know, what's happening in society at the moment and with women's health, that there is an increase, a huge increase in the cases of breast cancer. So there is a big educational push for more breast awareness and breast screening, which is absolutely, we are 100% behind all of that. And there's some really great things happening with the McGrath Foundation at the moment. They have some great education tools for women just to increase awareness, because some of their recent studies actually showed that there was quite a low statistics in women who really did truly understand what breast awareness was.
Yep.
Foundational breast care, I guess, is sort of taking it to another level and just supporting women to build, rather than just checking for disease and that, you know, your relationship with your breast being about that only, we're sort of saying, well, actually there's much more than that, and you can actually have a relationship with your breast that can support all of that and more. It can actually connect you to much deeper to yourself and your body, to your cycles and to yourself as a woman.
Sarah, do you have a particular target age group that you're aiming for, or is it broader than just a particular demographic?
Yeah, no, it's really broad. It's actually not for any particular age group. It's for all women. And we do have a section on the website that is a young women section, because yep, it's really important that we start, you know, that this kind of education at a younger age. And it's really interesting, because a lot of the most recent presentations that I've been involved in we've shown women the self breast massage video that we have on our website, which is for women to be able to do for themselves. And so many women's response is, you know, this needs to be in school. And it's true, like a younger and younger women need to also really, and young girls need to understand this relationship that they can have with their breasts that doesn't have to be about the societal impositions that are generally placed on breasts, which are things like, you know, just the ordinary function, not ordinary because it is actually not ordinary at all, function, but, you know, fashion and sex and disease. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's almost kind of having to, like, reprogram people and kind of change the way they think about themselves or about their breasts in general, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Sarah. We'll be right back after the break.
Joy 94.9.
And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're continuing our conversation with Sarah Harris. Sarah, I know you did say that, you know, we kind of want to move away from this kind of fear-based thing when it regards to caring about your breasts. But just statistic-wise, how common is breast cancer amongst women?
Breast cancer is, they say that 1 in 8 Australian women will be diagnosed with breast cancer before the age of 85.
Wow. See, that is quite high. I had no idea that it was actually quite high.
It's quite significant, yeah.
Yeah, so what are some tips that you could give women with regards to breast care? I know you said there was a video about esoteric massage. Could you maybe start with describing what that entails?
Yeah, so there is a massage, self-breast massage video that is on our website on foundationofbreastcare.com. And it's a very beautiful, simple video that demonstrates a technique that, and it's a woman who's fully clothed, and she's demonstrating a technique that supports women to, it's very, very simple, but supports them to just understand how they can massage their breasts, because we're not used to that, you know, we're not used to knowing even what to do, you know, how a lot of women I speak to don't even wash their breasts. So it's just starting to develop a relationship. And one of the ways you can do that is through that self-breast massage and using that particular technique. But other ways is just by starting and just maybe just massaging some cream on your breasts after the shower, washing your breasts in the shower, just actually even noticing that they're there.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that we kind of can, we just have this idea that there's just these appendages on our body that are, you know, kind of just there. We don't kind of take the same care as in, like, you know, we wouldn't go a day without doing our hair. Or, you know, doing our nails or whatever. But, you know, we actually just a lot of the time we will skip that, the part of our body that is actually a very prominent part of who we are as a woman.
It's almost as though there's societal learnings that women have developed that not to nurture her body or not to touch places, isn't it? It's like, you know, don't go there.
Yeah. Well, this could be a start to changing that kind of mentality, isn't it, Jack?
I hope it is, because it's terribly important. Now, Sarah, are there any dangers of women not caring for their breasts properly, do you think?
Well, I mean, when you say dangers of not caring for your breasts, I think that sort of includes your breasts are part of your body.
Yep.
And, you know, so if we're not caring for our breasts, we're not caring for our body.
Mm.
So they kind of go hand in hand, and I feel like it's, there is a the World Health Organization studies do show that it is about our lifestyle and the way that we are that actually really contribute to the rates of illness and disease and cancers that we see today just skyrocketing. So it is definitely about, you know, the way that we are with our body and the relationship we have, you know, is definitely going to be contributing to you know, what we're seeing across the board.
Absolutely. And I guess another, what I kind of also want to say, instead of looking at the dangers of not caring for your breasts, is there anything that you could say that would be more beneficial in actually taking on this proper breast care, other than, you know, trying to avoid breast cancer? What other kind of benefits would you say come from this?
From the self-breast massage and, building a relationship with your breast It's actually very deeply connecting. Like you're building your relationship with yourself in a way that and the self-breast massage talks about a quality that you massage yourself in. So women can tend to be very fast-paced and hard and, you know, kind of just just trying to achieve and succeed, and there's all multitasking, and there's a lot of things that we accomplish, and we're, you know, amazing at lots of things. But often we forget that there's actually quality within us that is very, very still and very, very tender and very, very precious that hasn't been touched by any of the societal institutions. And so when we bring that quality to ourselves through the massage, for example, then that we can actually start to reconnect to that, and that inspires us to take care of ourselves in a different way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
no, absolutely. No, thank you for explaining it that way. We'll be right back after this. Joy, joy, joy. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you are back with Jesse and Jack, and we're talking to Sarah, continue our conversation about breast care. Now, Sarah, why is it that talking about breasts is a bit of a taboo subject, you think?
Yeah, we sort of touched on that before a bit.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
Because I mean, there's so many other ways that we view breasts, but I think one of the big ones is that how they have been very sexualized and objectified. And I think that people, you know, don't really know how to deal with that or respond to that when people know that, and they can feel that it's not a true way to have a relationship with breasts in the deeper sense. But they don't really know, you know, how else to be, I guess. And so it sort of becomes this sort of secret subject or, you know, uncomfortable subject where it has been in the past. I think more so now with the awareness of breast cancer, there's a lot more opportunity to talk about breasts. But, yeah, there's definitely been, for a long time, very much it's been hidden and a bit of a secret kind of topic, much like menstruation and periods.
Sure.
No, we need to make those times change.
We're doing
not
our best.
Hide
no, it's
it,
important.
You know?
It is important. Sarah, in a media release, it was stated that breasts have become a commodity. What do you think is meant by that term, that breasts have become a commodity?
Yeah, I guess it's really referring to the fact that breasts have become sort of everybody else's except for the woman herself. So
yeah, that's so true. I really like the way you said that, actually.
You mean everyone's got an opinion on
everyone's
somebody.
Got an opinion of how it should look, or like, you know, what you do with them, or what it is. It's like it belongs to everybody else except for the woman that owns them.
Yeah, that's right. And even in mothering children, you know, and breastfeeding, that's another topic where women literally give themselves over to breastfeeding. And I did that. I had an experience of that when my son was born and he wasn't able to breastfeed. And I ran myself into the ground being a new young mum and, you know, just expressing milk every 3 hours, 24 hours a day for like nearly a month.
Yeah.
And because I was so sold on this idea that I had to give him breast milk, otherwise I wasn't going to be a good mother and he wasn't going to get what he needed. And it was all about that being for him rather than me looking after myself.
Sure. I know, because my sister actually went through a similar experience when she had her first child, and it got to a point where it was really bad and she was getting bleeding nipples and it was like chafing and getting really chapped. And it was a really awful experience for her. But I guess, women aren't, especially young mothers, probably aren't really presented with an alternative view of what they are meant to be doing when they first give birth to a child.
No, well, what I actually learned was that, you know, there was not a drop, and what I know now in retrospect is that not a drop of breast milk is going to give my baby nurturing if I'm not nurturing myself. And that's one of the big things and the foundational things about foundational breast care and the esoteric breast massage is the understanding that our breasts are there. They emanate the energy of nurturing, you know, in their truest expression. But we can't emanate that kind of nurturing unless we're doing that for ourselves. And if we are there doing that for everybody else, then we're just running ourselves dry. And that's sort of a pattern and a tendency for women is to give themselves over to others.
Sarah, what about men? In your experience, what is their general perception of breasts? I think you probably touched on it just before, really.
But I think you did mention when you had an event a while ago, there were some findings that kind of came to light to you, or just kind of in your experience with the public or in general, that was quite interesting. Was there something that you wanted to share about that?
Yeah, we did have a few men. I mean, the obvious perception of men's perception of breasts is more of a sexualized view. But we did have an event. We had a launch of our Foundation of Breast Care in Melbourne, and we did invite men to come along because it was a conversation that we wanted to have with everybody about breasts, because we're all contributing to what we're experiencing in society. So we did have you know, a few small comments from men. It was largely from women, but it was really afterwards I spoke to a few, and they loved being able to be there to be able to listen to women's experiences, because they too wanted to be able to talk about, you know, what's actually really going on, because they aren't comfortable with the way women's breasts are sexualized. And, you know, they would like that to change too. So them being a part of the conversation and included was a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be back for one last section with you, Sarah, after this. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
For over 25 years, the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives have been collecting and preserving Australia's queer history. A not-for-profit organisation, the Archives rely on your support through membership, financial and queer memorabilia donations. To find out more, email algarchives@hotmail.com or web search the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives.
This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9, and we are continuing the conversation with Sarah about foundational breast care. However, before we get into it, I think we have received a message from a lovely listener, Jack.
We have, Jess. It says, "Hello, Well, Well, Well team. Great to hear your voices and present yet another important community topic." And that's from Anthony. So there's a man, Sarah, texting and saying this is an important topic. So maybe we are making a difference in a little way.
We are, slowly but surely. Now, I think from our conversation, we kind of established that there is a lack of education when it comes to, you know, the whole idea of women's breast care and all that kind of stuff. Other than what is it that you suggest that we do? Like, do you think that we should start this education in schools?
Absolutely. I mean, if we could have this kind of education that is actually, because do you know what, it's actually a very normal and natural thing to do when you actually start doing it. It's just that because we've been so disconnected from this kind of relationship with ourselves, then it just sort of seems a little bit odd sometimes at first. So the more we can educate young people, yeah, initially, that would be just such an important, beautiful thing. But you know what? There really needs to be the women who are the role models of that first too. So, you know, educating women is just as important, and having, you know, just having the website in itself is such a resource. It's such an amazing resource. It's very rich, full of amazing content, amazing living evidence from many, many women, also men as well. It's actually a lot of little excerpts on there from men about their experience in seeing women and how they have just basically transformed their lives through this kind of relationship with themselves.
Sarah, you were talking before that some men came to the information sessions and were interested in learning and educating themselves. And many men also sexualize women and their breasts. If you could use this as a message, as a platform to get a message to men tonight, what would you think would be a powerful or important message for men to hear from you tonight?
Probably to suggest that they really connect with the woman that's standing in front of them, and the women that are standing in front of them, and because if that is the way that they are more inclined in terms of connecting more with their breasts and their bodies rather than the woman, then it is important to start building a relationship beyond that first, where you actually see the woman first.
I think, well, if Anthony is any example, perhaps somebody is listening out there and thinking it is important and taking your message in.
I know. Yeah. Unfortunately, that might be coming time to a close soon. But before we let you go, Sarah, is there any last words or anything you'd like to say to our listeners?
I would just encourage people to have a look at the Foundational Breast Care website and just get a feel for the content that's on there, because there's a lot of really supportive information, and it's foundationalbreastcare.com.
Yep.
And thank you both. It's been really great chatting
with you. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah. I'll just plug that website one last time. It is www.foundationalbreastcare.com. And thank you so much to Sarah Harris for joining us on air. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? As a female myself, I definitely learned a couple things. I definitely can't say I go around massaging my breasts every day, but hey, there's always a time to start.
No, but it's interesting because I think we are encouraged to have something of a disconnect from our bodies. Mm-hmm. We're never happy with this or that, or we don't. As a child, you're told not to touch this or that.
Exactly. So we've got to change the way we think. The number of breast implants that are coming, that people are getting, and even how, you know, she was right, it's viewed in fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sexualized massively, and you don't really think about caring for them.
No. And I'm surprised we didn't get more women writing or texting in too. Maybe some women had some questions. It's not never too late to find out, though. You can go to their website, foundationalbreastcare.com,
exactly,
and find out more about how to nurture and care for your breast.
Yeah, but what about you, Jack? Did you learn anything today, or what about your experience? What is your take on all this?
No, I think it's important for people to be open and receptive to see the whole person in front of them, not in a sexualized manner, just as a person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just share this with you. We're not making this a topic about breast cancer as such,
mm-hmm,
but I come from a family where, you know, grandmothers, mother, aunties, sister, they've all had breast cancer.
Wow.
And so when I was 18, I'm sitting before you without a left breast.
Really?
I had a partial mastectomy when I was 18 or 19.
Did you?
I did. And so it's quite interesting. And I remember the surgeon saying at the time, I had this lump came up and I went into hospital. I just thought they were going to take the lump out. They took out the whole breast tissue. And I remember the surgeon saying, we've removed the whole breast tissue. You don't need it. If down the track you wanted to change your gender with hormone treatments, you'd only produce one breast, which would be my right breast. So I've got no breast tissue in the left because I had that was all removed. I've still got the nipple and the lymph nodes. Yes. Yeah. So it's not a radical mastectomy. They just removed all the breast tissue.
I did not know that about you, Jack. I guess you learned something every day.
No, it's interesting. It's just a coincidence. I happened to be on the show tonight talking about breast care. And
absolutely,
I know men do get breast cancer.
Well, it's
rare.
It's overlooked a lot.
It's overlooked. But I think we should all remind listeners to go to the Foundational Breast Care site, foundationalbreastcare.com, to learn more about how to nurture and care for their breasts.
Indeed. Well, we'll be right back after the break. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Joy, joy, joy. And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And you're back with Jesse and Jack. We have Brett calling in from the lead, who's going to give us a quick Northside Bazaar wrap-up. Brett, how are you?
Hello, good, thank you. How are you both doing?
Oh, very well. What time did you end up getting to bed on Sunday morning, Brett?
Well, I managed to get home and have a shower and dinner at 9 p.m. and then back
into
the pub.
Oh, yeah,
it was fun. There was quite a lot of girls hanging around still like that because we were open all night. So it was great. But I think Mark and I might have got home around 1:30 or 2:00, but
okay, that's not too bad.
You get home and you go, oh, now I'm not tired.
Yeah, like, I know. It's like all the adrenaline.
Wind down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on my fourth wind by then. So,
yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how do you feel the event went? I mean, personally, I thought it was an amazing event. It was really busy and it just ran quite well. How do you feel it went?
Yeah, look, we're actually stoked with the amount of feedback we're seeing. I mean, of course, Facebook is, you know, a great way of gauging this sort of thing. We knew straight after that it had been an awesome event because we just walking through, and I guess the main two things was the two new bits was the Laird stage inside the Laird and the Master Baker,
mm-hmm,
which was the
it was
the
terrific, yeah,
the baking stuff with the coffee machine.
Yeah,
walking
that
those
was
areas
fun.
And just seeing them go off, and the Laird stage, just, you know, last year we had that as sort of just a chill out zone with no entertainment, so it was just sitting around.
Yeah,
to have that entertainment in there of different varieties, it was just great. But to walk through every area and just see it happening at all different stages, it was amazing.
It
yeah,
was
great.
Amazing, really I know. Good. Do we have, can we announce again the winner of the Master Baker Challenge?
I love the name.
Sorry?
That was the Spikers.
The Spikers.
The Melbourne Spikers.
The Melbourne Spikers.
Yep, volleyball.
Yeah. Do you remember which
Dead
one
the boys,
they
yeah.
baked?
They baked, I have
this is so testing
much
you.
In my head right now. Oh, no, no.
Because I remember going in there and I was kind of like having a taste of this and that. And I tasted one of them that was, I think it was like the maple kind of cheesecake one. And it was, oh my gosh, it was amazing.
I'm about to, let's have a look.
But I didn't get to vote, unfortunately.
No. It wasn't the winner.
I know.
So, but it was, I think that might have been the one. I've got photos of the refrigerator as well. I've got, which I'm going to be actually putting out, and you can. There's actually a link on the website already if you want to check out photos.
Perfect.
From the same galleries, but this is even some of the photos are great of the different foods that the guys and girls did. So that was really good to have those sports teams. You know, they're both sports teams are most of them, if not all of them, are supported in one way by Zach or Joy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great way to have them involved and sort of give back, and you know, it was a really fun way, non-sporty way.
It was
still certainly that sporting. What would you say? Competition, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was just a whole lot of fun, and you know, having a coffee cart and everything as well was really good.
I
had mum.
It's kind of all
mum came down as well with her partner.
Your mum?
Your mum? Mum to it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I only got mum to eat one cupcake, and then she was like, "Oh no, I'll have to go for a jog when I get home." Yeah. She fit changed me. So awesome. It was great.
Brett, I thought it was a huge crowd. Do you have any sense of how many people actually attended?
We're looking at around 1,300 to 1,400 all up. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's not bad.
Awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that was
great. And then there was even like after the event, there was this sort of strange flow on. I was like, oh, people left, but then there was more that came in. No one could leave open. So it's good. It's been great. It's really been good to sort of look at it and go, cool, that's the second year of this using that amount of space.
Yeah. Yeah,
and how we can improve on things, how we can bring in new things and all that sort of stuff.
Totally.
Great.
Really, well, because this year we brought in the two new things, the Master Baker and then that stage, and it went really well. It just kind of means that we've got opportunity to kind of keep growing.
Yeah. That's
and
what was so great about the LAIRD stage as well. Like I was saying with the Master Baker, it was about getting the sports teams that are supported by Back and Joy.
Hmm.
With the LAIRD stage, it was a really good chance to get down and dirty guys from Back and the Hide and Seek boys from Joy, who are very much our core demographic sort of things. They really feel to our crowd, to get them to be running that was great. It didn't mean it had to be, you know, all guys. The great thing was we had drag kings, we had drag.
We had something for everybody.
The girls doing the finish, everything. Yeah, it was great. So really good.
Yeah, it was fun. Now, you said Michael there were Whalen, photos.
Who was on that, Michael from from Dan and Dirty, who was on that DJ box, I taught him how to use that morning.
Yeah, I know. I think you mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
Well, that explains an awful lot, then, doesn't it, Brett?
I just showed him a few buttons and I ran and I said, there
he's
you go,
good with buttons. He's good. He's good.
Yeah, awesome.
And I was great. So thanks to and I guess basically, you know, I can't start naming names because I'm just actually working on a personnel list now, finalising it for the thanks. But there's so many people, and they their help from all of them, from Joy volunteers, from Back volunteers.
Absolutely.
A lot of them, you know, a lot of them are serial offenders as well, the ones that come back and volunteer for things all throughout the year.
Great.
And we had our own LAIRD crew as well as our bar staff. We had our own
absolutely LAIRD and a massive thank you to the LAIRD crew and you and Mark.
Absolutely.
Absolute pleasure to work with, and obviously
thank
massive
you
contribution
great
to making it such a successful event. Got any details about next year?
Next year, so here's my plan. My big plan is I've got to get, we're getting all the photos up, we're getting the galleries up for this website, which you can actually go to now. And then we're sort of, and we're actually putting a survey out later this week, so people can actually fill out a survey and let us know, give us more feedback. And then the end of the week, we'll hopefully have an amount to announce.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, and then, next year, it'll be pretty much around the same time. Yeah, it works really well with the daylight savings.
Absolutely.
The weather's nice, but not too hot.
But no,
that wind was a little bit of a worry at first.
Perfect,
I was waiting for a marquee to flow over, then it calmed down and it was just beautiful. So
it was.
It'll be back and it'll be, I think, the same space.
Absolutely.
A lot of those things will return, and we've got some other ideas as well already.
How lucky is the LAIRD to have the hall across the road like that?
Oh, I know. And the Masonic Hall guys, the Freemason guys, are amazing. They just they actually do, just so people know, they do give a community rate for us when we hire this because they know that everything that's raised over in that area is going to you guys.
All proceeds go to charity,
Exactly. And they're great guys. They're really, you know, we kind of help each other out, I guess. Something's happening at one venue, we let the other one know. And so it's a good little relationship. When we first took over and found out it was a Freemason, I was like, my dad used to be a Freemason, and all he did was go out once a month with a black suitcase and not say anything.
And it wouldn't have happened in his day.
This is like a new generation. Yeah, no, exactly. And they have everything there from
Awesome.
Burlesque things and everything. So the only, I mean, we said to them, look, that's why we started the Laird stage as well. We can go nuts on the Laird stage. It's a little bit crazy. But the Masonic Hall, we do have to have that little bit of, you know, they don't really want pornographic things or... It's about that respect there, so...
Mm-hmm.
And so all the way up to sweeping all the way out the front of it today to make sure it's pristine when I hand over the keys tomorrow. So.
Oh, good on you, Brad. Yeah, good on you.
But also, a big thank you to everyone who attended because everybody was really clean and tidy with it. Well, it's great. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. Well, yep. Just plug that website one more time. You said that there's photos up for people to look at. Like, what's the website again?
NorthsideBazaar.com. So, and the bazaar is as in strange bazaar. Bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or just go to the Laird front page. Google Laird Melbourne. Go to our front page of the banner. It'll take you through there. And there's some links to the Dean R. Curie's same. There's two galleries of each photo.
Yep.
And we'll be putting a survey out later in the week and in our newsletter Laird Mail and also on the back of your website. So please, we really would appreciate the feedback as well because it's really, really important in helping it get bigger and better. So
absolutely.
Thanks to all of you guys.
Yep. Joy and thanks to you. Thanks to the Laird, to Vac and Joy. And thanks so much for calling in, Brett.
No worries at all. Thanks for having us.
See you soon, Brett.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and as per usual, Jack, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
It certainly does, but we must mention next week's show, so I just want to let people know, be sure to tune in to next week's episode of Well, when we'll be talking with our own very special guest, Dr. Adam Bourne. Dr. Bourne is a top researcher from London and focuses on drug use and the LGBTI community. We're very lucky to have him visiting, so you can come along to a Q&A featuring Dr. Bourne next Tuesday at Hares and Hyenas. Dr. Bourne will be answering all your questions. That's your question. So come along about sex, drugs, harm reduction, health and well-being with the help of some fantastic guests. That's happening on Tuesday, October the 25th at 7 p.m. at Hares and Hyenas at 63 Johnson Street in Fitzroy, Jess.
That is right. And if any of your listeners have missed any of the shows, including last week's episode, please head to joy.org.au/well to catch up on podcasts or previous episodes. I think that's the end of our show now, Jack.
It is.
It's been absolutely lovely. We'll be back next Monday at 8 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. Until then, look after yourselves. With Jesse and Jack.
Cheers, everyone.
Goodbye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.